Let's go ahead and get our meeting started. My name is Dave Dorsey, and I am a consistent failure at personal devotion.
Hi, Dave Dorsey.
Hi, Dave.
And look, it's not for lack of trying, all right? I have certainly endeavored to put my hand to the plow. Bible reading plans, absolutely. Bible in a year. Bible in 2 years. New Testament in a year. New Testament in 2 years. Daily email devotional. Weekly email devotional. That one seems to work well. And then if I do have time through the day, I can still do the daily devotional because there are hundreds of them in my unread email folder. Or how about prayer? There are all kinds of tricks to help you pray better. One of the ones that you can use is the five fingers of your hand. You take your hand and your thumb points toward you. So that's to remind you to pray for those who are closest to you, your family, your friends. Your first finger points at other people, so you pray for teachers, for pastors, for emergency workers. Your third finger stands for something too. To be honest, I'm not sure what it is, because by this time in my prayer journey, I'm thinking about literally anything else. What do I have to do today? What do I want to have for lunch? Who had the highest on-base percentage for the 83 Orioles? Literally anything except what I came into my prayer closet to do, which is to spend time with the creator of heaven and earth. And listen, guys, I know that I'm probably the only one in here that struggles with these things. So I would just ask for your grace and patience. You go home today, your spouse, your kids, your parents say, what was the men's breakfast about? Was it helpful? It's like, no, not really. It didn't really apply to me, but I let a guy talk through his problems. You know, I did a good deed. It felt good. And I'll tell you, as the days of devotional failure stack on me, what comes into my mind is just the long list of scriptures about having a consistent devotional life. But Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. How about 1 Thessalonians 5? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. 2 Timothy 2, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. 1 Timothy 4:7, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. But amidst all those scriptures, there's always one more that bubbles up into my mind. And those are the words of the Lord in Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Scripture has a clear expectation that you and I will have a strong life of personal devotion. But it also contains a clear promise that life will be rest for us, that it will give life to us, that it will strengthen us, sustain us, and give rest to our souls. And I don't know about you, but I feel like much of the time, my devotional journey misses the mark of that promise. My experience with personal devotions has mostly been a frustrating journey of personal failure. And so I got to thinking about this for this lesson, and I thought, why don't we look at three reasons why Dave Dorsey has consistently failed at personal devotions? This is not an exhaustive list. These are just the three reasons that came to mind. But before we do that, let's just talk about a couple of terms, make sure we're all talking about the same thing. We use the phrase personal devotions a lot. Another way to say this would be personal spiritual disciplines. These are behaviors that are found in Scripture that you do personally or privately. So prayer, reading the Bible, worship, stewardship, evangelism, things like that. And they're different from corporate spiritual disciplines. So corporate spiritual disciplines are things we do to pursue godliness that we do together, right? What kind of things might those be? Coming to church on a Sunday morning, going to a prayer meeting, going to a Bible study, going to a men's breakfast. That's right, pat yourself on the back. Why are you here this morning? You're here because you disciplined yourself for the purpose of godliness, because you made the decision that this was more important to you than other things that you could be doing. So you have, on the one hand, personal spiritual disciplines. These are things that you do individually, personally, or privately to draw nearer to God. On the other hand, you have corporate spiritual disciplines. Which of the two is more important? Right? It's a trick question. It's two sides of the same coin. Two sides of the same coin. They're both vital to our spiritual growth. We all know people who have rich personal devotional lives, but don't really participate in fellowship and in devotion with the body. Right? They're believers, but you're not going to grow that way. Most of us, though, are on the other side of that spectrum. We're all here looking at each other's faces, having a good time, eating breakfast. We participate often in corporate spiritual disciplines, but maybe don't do so hot when it comes to personal spiritual disciplines. So we're going to talk today about personal spiritual disciplines. We're going to talk about things you do, actions you take, you putting your personal hand to the plow for your personal spiritual growth. But that's not to say that personal devotion is any more important than interpersonal devotion. Personal spiritual disciplines aren't more important than corporate spiritual disciplines. They're just what we're talking about today. All right. The second thing that I want us to understand is that, as just as a foundational thing, that even though that these spiritual disciplines, they're things we do, they're still rooted in the gospel. Not for our justification, but for our sanctification. And I don't want to get too deep in the theological weeds, but I would ask you to just lock in with me for a couple of minutes, because this is really important. When we talk about justification, what we're talking about is God's declaration of us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ, that he does not hold our sin to our account, but looks at us the same way he does Jesus on the basis of Christ's finished work. We understand that we contribute nothing to that, right? That God's justification of us, that him declaring us right, is based entirely on what Christ has done. That's justification. When we talk about sanctification, typically what people are talking about are actions that we take to grow in godliness. All right, and that can sort of lead you to thinking justification is what God does for me. Sanctification is what I do for him, right? Not exactly. You are passive in your justification. You contribute nothing to your salvation. Your sanctification is dependent on the choices that you make, the things that you do. But both of those are rooted in the gospel. The Bible has a slightly different way of categorizing sanctification. Not justification, salvation, that's what God does for me. Sanctification is what I do for him. Now, sanctification has kind of a broader sense in the Bible. To sanctify something means to consecrate it, to make it holy, to set it apart. So in a very real sense, when we are saved, God sanctifies us. There's a moment in time where he declares us holy based on the finished work of Christ, and he sets us apart for his use. But there's also an ongoing sense of sanctification where, following that moment, we are transformed from glory to glory. Through the entirety of our lives, he conforms us to the image of Christ. Okay? But both of them are rooted in the gospel. Both of them are rooted in us receiving Christ's work for us by faith. And the Reformers understood this as Christ for us and Christ in us. And you see both of these in just that incredible gospel text in Ephesians 2. First, Christ for us in verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. That's Christ for us. The next verse, we see Christ in us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So today, like I said, we're going to be talking about things that you do. We're going to be talking about you putting your hand to the plow for the purpose of your spiritual growth. But remember that the strength to do this is a free gift from God. It's rooted in the gospel. I love what Paul says in Colossians 1, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works in me." I love, too, what Michael Horton says about this. He says the faith that receives Christ apart from works in justification, that same faith receives Christ for works in sanctification. We're going to be talking about things you do today, but just remember that from start to finish, your Christian experience is a work of God's grace. All right? So with that settled, let's dig in. I want to give you three reasons why Dave Dorsey is terrible at personal devotions. Number one, he doesn't understand that spiritual growth comes from consistency, not intensity. I'll tell you a couple more things about me, okay? If you could be a healthy weight through occasional dieting, I would weigh 170 pounds and I'd have 12% body fat. If going to the gym for a couple hours every now and then was sufficient to build muscle, I'd have a one rep bench max, probably 405. If you became a good father by investing in your kids from time to time, I'd make Liam Neeson's character in Taken look like a deadbeat dad. And if spiritual growth came from fervently pursuing godliness now and then, I'd probably be able to walk on water. But nothing in life comes that way. All growth in life comes as a result of disciplined effort. You could go to the gym for a couple hours every 6 to 8 weeks. The dude that does 10 push-ups every morning when he wakes up is going to lap you, right? It's not the intensity of effort. It's consistency. Change doesn't come. Growth doesn't come as a result of us doing big things now and then. It comes as a result of us doing little things every day. 1 Timothy 1:4-7 again, discipline yourself for the pursuit of godliness. You guys know what it's like to discipline yourselves. You do it all the time, right? Probably not in every area of your life that you wish you were disciplined. None of us are. But you all discipline yourselves to do things now and then, whether it's a health pursuit, a hobby, something at work. How do you do it? You make a plan, and then you follow through on that plan, and that's it, right? And you do it every day. Think about going to the gym. If you want to build muscle mass, what do? You go online, you do some research, you say, okay, I'm going to go to the gym such and such a day. I'm going to do this many sets, this many reps of bench press. I'm going to do this many sets, this many reps of overhead press. This is what I'm told. I don't know this personally. But this is what people tell me. This is what they tell me how it works. What do? You go to the gym and you just do it. You got your list, and as you do each set, you tick the box, and then when it's all done, you go home. Right? You wake up on a Saturday morning. You got a long list of chores you want to do. What do? Have a couple cups of coffee, make a list, and then just one at a time. Tick those boxes, check them all off. When they're all checked off, you're done. You make a plan, you follow through, you're done. It's that easy. Does it work? Every single time. And that's not to say that it doesn't take a lot of energy. It doesn't take effort. It doesn't take motivation. It doesn't take follow through. It doesn't take discipline. It takes all those things. But it's not complicated, right? So let me ask you, if that's how you discipline yourself to achieve things concerning natural tasks, why is that not how we discipline ourselves to achieve things in the spiritual realm? And I think sometimes that our good view of God's holiness can cause us to have misperceptions about what it means to honor him with our time, right? A lot of us think about our devotional time as, I've got this many chapters that I'm supposed to read on my Bible reading plan. I'm going to pray for 5, 10 minutes, however long it is. I'm going to tick the boxes. No, I don't want to feel like that, right? This is the King of heaven and earth. He deserves my best. And if you're anything like me, then what that does is that leads you to occasional moments of intense devotion rather than consistent moments of small devotion. All right, could I make a suggestion to you? Tick the box. Don't let a prideful belief about the type of Christian you feel you ought to be keep you from being the type of Christian that you are. And some of you may have schedules that are so choked with responsibilities and obligations that if you were to say, I'm going to commit myself to a fixed number of minutes and I'm going to do it, I'm going to discipline myself to do it every single day, that would be like 5 minutes. And it's easy to look at that and say, well, I'm not even going to bother, right, until I get time on the weekend or every other week to really, really give the Lord the time that he deserves, right? I went to public school, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that 5 minutes a day is more than 0 minutes a day, right? You have to be where you are. You have to start where you are. You have to be who you are. You might want to be a big, strong Christian, bringing a big offering of time to God, when in reality, what you are is the widow woman with her two mites. But I will tell you this, little is much in God's hands when we give it to him faithfully. So I would encourage you, make a plan and tick the box. Bring your offering to God. Bring it faithfully. Bring it consistently and see what God will do. See what he'll do with your schedule. See what kind of wisdom he will give you to free things up, to be able to multiply that time back to you. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 9 that he gives seed to the sower. When we purpose in our hearts, God, I want to give to you, but I just don't have anything to give. Give what you have, give what you can, and the Lord will multiply it back to us. He gives seed to the sower. All right, so reason number one that I think Dave Dorsey fails at personal devotion is that he doesn't understand that spiritual growth comes from consistency and not intensity. All right, reason number two, he doesn't understand that sanctification happens over decades and not days. Very much connected to the first point, right? You go to the gym every day for a week, and I expect to be lifting, I don't know, like 50 pounds more than I was when I started, right? We all want quick results. That's not how growth happens in any area of life. And so I think, you know, he doesn't understand that sanctification happens over decades, not days. I'll tell you why, because the vast majority of mornings when I engage in a time of personal devotion, I don't feel like it accomplished anything at all. I pray and I don't feel like my prayers have power. I don't know that they're heard. I read the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. I tend not to understand what I'm reading. If I do understand it, I tend not to remember it 5 minutes after I've read it. I go and I have this devotional experience with the Lord and I leave thinking, if anything good happened in that time, then it was something mystical that was completely beyond me. And scripture would hear this and it would answer, yeah, exactly. You got it. Jesus gives this parable in Mark chapter 4, a parable of the kingdom. He says, the kingdom of God is as a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. And so Jesus gives this short and simple parables to his disciples to explain how his kingdom works. And he says, essentially, your job is to scatter the seed. My job is to cause it to sprout and grow. And it's going to happen over time, and you're not going to understand or always know how. It doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen. Let me give you two things that might help you here. And again, I assume no one in here struggles with this but me, so I do really appreciate you just kind of listening to me and letting me talk through this. Let me give you two things that might help you out here. Number one, you are always going to be the last one to know about changes in your spiritual condition, both good and bad. All right? You want to know how your walk with God is going? Ask your wife. Ask your kids. Ask your parents. They will tell you. All right? You might not like the answer, but they will tell you because they see it. They see the things that you don't see. And that's the case if your spiritual condition is declining. That's the case if your spiritual condition is improving. And there are a few things more convicting than your wife saying, hey, I didn't want to say anything, but I can tell that your devotional time has been slacking for a while. On the other hand, man, I will tell you, there is nothing in the world more encouraging than your wife saying, hey, I can tell you're spending time with God. That is the most incredible feeling in the world. So number one, you'll always be the last to know about changes in your spiritual condition. Number two, God's purpose in sanctification is a little bit different from ours, okay? You spend time with the Lord so you can get strength and have peace so you won't slug one of your coworkers that day, right? Guys, it's cool. You're among friends. You're among friends, okay? No, I don't know what you're talking about. Greg, we get it. Get it. You spend time with the Lord so you can have peace and strength to make it through the day. God spends time with you to prepare you to rule and reign with him in the heavenly places throughout all of eternity. your purposes in sanctification are just a little bit different. And that's not to say that God doesn't care deeply about the small things in our lives. Jesus makes it clear in the Sermon on the Mount. God numbers the hairs on our head. He cares deeply about the small things in our lives. Okay, but when you go into the prayer closet, the foremost thing in your mind is some bill you've got to pay next week, while God is thinking about conforming you to the image of Christ across all of eternity and preparing you to judge angels. The perspective is just a little bit different. Okay, so don't marvel if you spend several days in devotion and it doesn't feel like much is changing. Sanctification doesn't happen over days. It happens over decades. It'll happen over the entirety of your life until God ultimately calls you home, finally perfects you, conforms you fully to the image of Christ, and invites you to rule and reign together with him for all of eternity. All right, so number one, Dave Dorsey doesn't understand that spiritual growth comes from consistency, not intensity. Number two, Dave doesn't understand that sanctification happens over decades and not days. Number three, Dave Dorsey doesn't believe that he's dependent on God. Now, don't get me wrong. If you ask him, hey, are you dependent on God? He will say, absolutely, I am. Trust in the Lord, lean not onto your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I am the vine, you are the branches, abide in me and I in you, for apart from me you can do nothing. He is my fortress, my salvation, my strong tower, my rock, the horn of my salvation, my deliverer. Can I get an amen? Here's the thing about Dave Dorsey. He says all that stuff, but most of the time, in his heart of hearts, he doesn't believe it. And don't get me wrong, I have been through periods of significant trial in my life, and in those times, it is easy to spend long devotional times with the Lord. It is easy to spend lengthy times in prayer, to spend lengthy times in the Word, okay? Because my dependence and my need for God is so real to me as these trials are unfolding. But when things are going well, most of the time, I feel like I've got it under control. And I understand intellectually, yes, I am dependent on God. As of now, Lord, everything's going well. If that changes, you'll be the first to know. One of the things that I think will drive us to prayer is a reality, feeling that reality of our dependence on God. And I'll tell you, what I have found to be most useful here is praying. I love the words of the Father in Mark 9 who tells Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. If I had a life motto, I think it would be this one. I'm reading the Bible, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I'm in my prayer closet, and honest to goodness, in my heart of hearts, I feel like I got it all under control. Lord, show and reveal the depth of my dependence on you. Let me see that. Help my unbelief. Right. And if you go to pray, Lord, reveal to me the depth of my dependence on you, some Christians will tell you, you better be careful, brother, praying a prayer like that. God might answer it. Yeah, that's why I'm praying. Because I want him to answer it. I want to feel the depth of my dependence on God because I want that to drive me to Christ. And what they're saying is, what we just shared a minute ago, right? That you most feel your dependence for God when you are going through trial. So be careful praying a prayer like that because God might answer it and you might not like his answer. Right? But I'm praying it because I want his answer. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think that God's foremost desire for us is that we suffer. I don't see that in Scripture. I haven't seen that in my personal experience. But I will say this. If calamity is what it takes to drive my heart close to Christ, then let calamity come. Because there is nothing to be treasured more than closeness with him. And I pray this prayer because I recognize a stoniness in my heart and because I don't want calamity to come. I don't want God to have to bring me through a season of trial to draw me back to him. Scripture says, judge yourself, you'll be not judged. I pray that prayer because I recognize a stoniness in my heart. So I pray, God, help my unbelief. Break up this stoniness in my heart. And so I would encourage you to pray that prayer. Because I'll tell you, however he answers it, this I do see in Scripture, this I have seen in my personal life, he will answer it to your greatest good. I've been through a lot of trial in my life. On none of it would I look back. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. But on none of it would I look back and say, I wish that hadn't happened. I wish I hadn't had that opportunity to be close to him. There's nothing to be treasured more than closeness with Christ. Okay, so those are three reasons why Dave Dorsey has failed in his devotional life. Number one, he doesn't understand that spiritual growth comes from consistency and not intensity. Number two, he doesn't understand that sanctification happens over decades, not days. Number three, he doesn't believe he's dependent on God. Let me give you in closing one reason why Dave Dorsey is still moving forward, and that's because God the Spirit perseveres in him. So I hope you've been encouraged today. I hope you've been inspired. I hope you've been convicted. I hope you felt stirred to recommit yourself to a disciplined devotional life. I'm going to share in a minute a couple of resources that have been really helpful to me, may be helpful to you. So I hope you're stirred to commit yourself to discipline for the purpose of godliness. But most of all, I hope you believe that this is something you can do, not in your strength, but in Christ's strength in you. Because if you're feeling convicted about a devotional life, if you're feeling that you want to do more, you want to put your hand to the plow and be more consistent, understand that even that sense, it's not bad, it's good, it's glorious. Even that is evidence of God's gracious work in your life. Right? God has made you holy. And so there's something inside of you that says, I want to strive to be holy. I want my life to reflect what God has already made me freely, once and for all, because of the finished work of Christ. You see this in Romans 6:13 when Paul writes, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. We strive to be holy. We desire to be holy. We desire to grow in holiness because God has already made us holy. And nothing can ever change that. Nothing can ever take it away because it is rooted firmly and forever in the finished work of Christ. And so if you will root your devotional pursuit in this gospel of God's grace, then it will bring you life. When you miss a day, you won't think, man, I am a loser who just can't follow through. You'll think, you know what? I got busy today, and I missed an opportunity to express the identity that God has already created in me. And God will change you from one degree of glory to another as you behold the glory of the Lord. So I have a couple discussion questions for you, but I just wanted to give you a couple of quick resources that have been very helpful to me. Number one, spiritual disciplines, I'll leave these up here if you want to flip through them, just make sure you have gravy on your fingers. Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Donald S. Whitney. I love this book, okay? It is so helpful. He goes through a long list of personal spiritual disciplines that are found in Scripture, explains about them kind of, you know, theologically, but explains about them very, very practically, how you can apply them in your life. And then every single chapter, he brings it back to the gospel and rooting it in us receiving by faith what God has done for us. It's an extremely good book. Whitney's got another book. I don't remember the title offhand, but it's essentially written for the dude with 5 minutes a day, you know, who would very honestly say, somebody messed up my schedule. I don't know if it was me or somebody else. I've got 5 minutes a day. What can I do with it? It's got a chapter in there titled, Do What You Can, right? If that's you, highly commend that book to you. Get it. It'll set you free, and it'll get you set on this path of walking in faith and receiving from God. So Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Donald Whitney. Great book. And all these books I'm going to give you, at least these two, you don't have to read them cover to cover. You can dip into them, dip out, use them as a reference guide, read a chapter here, read a chapter there. Just very practical, very helpful. I love this one too, A Praying Life by Paul E. Miller. Same thing. You know, you only have to read it cover to cover. Just very, very inspiring, very convicting, but also very, very practical about how you can set up a prayer system in which you are essentially ticking the boxes in faith and you're seeing how God is hearing your prayers and answering them and responding to them. Extremely, extremely helpful book, very practical. And I will say, I love this book as well, Ordinary by Michael Horton. I could talk about this book for several minutes, so I'm just going to read the back cover instead. Your life was meant to be ordinary, not radical. Restless, epic, crazy, extreme. Every word we hear these days seems to call us to the next big thing. If only we would change our comfortable, compromising lives. The greatest fear most Christians have today is boredom, that sense that they are missing out on the radical, world-changing life Jesus promised. One thing is certain, no one wants to be ordinary. The problem is that most of us end up feeling disillusioned and disappointed, burnt out by restless anxieties and unrealistic expectations. We need a renewed appreciation for the commonplace ways in which God works, often in those mundane moments that are unplanned, unprogrammed, and unplugged. By learning to embrace the ordinary, you will find contentment and a sustainable faith in the hidden and humble places. This book has helped me obtain a sustainable faith, and I would highly commend it to you. Other than that, guys, that's all I got. I appreciate your time. Put a couple discussion questions up on the screen.